Hi, I'm Scott Hanselman. This is Azure Friday, and we're sitting with Jack Richens talking about best practices for securing SQL Azure.
That's right.
So SQL Azure is a platform as a service. It's SQL in the cloud.
That's right. So we're taking care of the hardware, the network, the OS, and SQL Server itself to a large degree, and you're getting databases from us.
Mm-hmm. But it's not a matter of me having no responsibility from a security perspective.
Absolutely not. I mean, if you go up on Trust Center, there's a number of certifications we've got, and then there's details there about your responsibility as a customer, but mm-hmm. our responsibility kind of ends at kind of the OS SQL Server boundaries, and then inside the databases, it's all up to you.
Mm-hmm. So if you do something dumb,
yes.
It's kind of on you. So let's talk about some things that mm-hmm. I can do to avoid making those kind of mistakes.
Well, the first one is around TLS and SSL connections. So on the server side, we do enforce SSL connections. Mm-hmm. So it's always encrypted if you're connecting to SQL Azure. Mm. But the internet's a bad place. Yeah. And our clients, by default, for legacy reasons, don't force that. And so there's some things you need to put in your connection string to force that. Otherwise, they're subject to man-in-the-middle attacks where someone's spoofing SQL Azure and you think you're connecting to us and you're connecting to someone else and you're unencrypted, et cetera, et cetera.
I've been doing SQL connection strings for forever mm-hmm. and I don't think I ever really knew what that meant. Trusted connection equals true is a bad thing.
So, yes. What it means is trusted connection equals false means don't trust the connection and validate the server.
Which seems like a good thing.
It's a good thing. It should be a good thing. This comes from decades ago when everything was inside the corporate network and everything was trusted. And now we're on the internet. Don't trust the connection.
I think I just say trusted because I know what that connection is.
Yeah.
That's wrong. So trust no one.
Exactly. Trust no one. Exactly. And encrypt true is fairly obvious. But it's kind of backwards because these are all instructions to the client driver telling the client, hey, you need to make sure the connection is encrypted. So on the server, we've already done our part where the server says, we're going to encrypt all the connections. Mm-hmm. But the client needs to demand it and say, hey, if I connect to a server and he's not encrypting it, I'm going to fail.
I see. So if there were SSL certificate issues, man in the middle, mm-hmm. that connection would fail. The client driver would say, mm-hmm. that's not who I thought it was going to be.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. So just copy and paste this into all of your connection strings. Trusted connection false, encrypt is equal to true.
Excellent.
So that's the first step. We also have these this kind of firewall type thing where you can restrict which IPs are allowed to connect to your server mm-hmm. in SQL Azure and also the databases. And so we have two layers there. And so you should go in there and restrict it as much as you can get away with. And if you go into the UI, they even have a checkbox that says open it up to Windows Azure, because that's a very common scenario is you have the web service connecting to the mm-hmm. back end. So we have that to make it easy, but in general, just go in there, figure out what addresses you can restrict it to and mm-hmm. do that.
So I didn't realize that you have that both on the server, because mm-hmm. you make your SQL server in the cloud, and on the database level.
Yes.
So you can have different permissions there.
You can. Now, it is a little interesting how it works together. The rules are that we enforce the server level firewall rules first, mm-hmm. and if it allows you in, that's it, you're in.
Okay.
So it's kind of additive. If you're trying to make a database, one database more restrictive than the other databases on the same server, you need the most minimal set at the server level.
Right.
And then you expand it a little bit at each database to allow more in.
That makes sense. I've also noticed that people, when they're developing, get a little mm-hmm. sloppy mm-hmm. with their firewall rules. I've noticed a lot of people who do remote work.
Yes.
And they go to Panera and McDonald's and they start adding firewall rules.
Absolutely.
It's a good idea to go back in there and tidy those up and know what production firewall rules for SQL Azure are versus your development ones.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great point. And then the last thing in general is least privilege and SQL injection are two common things you hear about all the time. Mm-hmm. First item on least privilege is the account you initially get when you set up a SQL Azure server mm-hmm. is, we refer to it as server admin. And he's like sysadmin on the box, SA, he's God. You definitely need to keep that account around, but you should not be using it for your daily activities. And definitely, you think about your web app connecting to the back end, they probably only need to read or write. Mm-hmm. They don't need to be server admin. Don't use that account for that.
I may have in the past put SA once or twice.
Maybe.
In a secure scene. Never, ever in Azure.
Yes, absolutely. Because you're open on the internet. People are trying to attack you. We do have some protections in place mm-hmm. Against too many attempts, but you're out there on the internet, that's just pretty dangerous.
Yeah, I think the assumption is to assume that you've been owned, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So always the least privilege might be just only to read mm-hmm. a particular table or just the minimal mm-hmm. amount that your web app needs. Mm-hmm.
Another thing you can do to help there is breaking your application up into multiple schemas. Mm. And we have this feature called ownership chaining, and it really is a feature, but if you're not careful, what it ends up meaning is that if any table or stored procedure gets compromised in one schema, mm-hmm. everything else in that same schema gets compromised. Mm. So you can kind of sandbox within your database app a little bit there and get greater granularity there.
Oh, wow. So even if you did somehow lose control, mm-hmm. you would only lose control of a small particular section.
Yeah.
And wouldn't that mean that you should treat, you know, important customer data differently from, you know, basic caching stuff
absolutely.
Versus your product catalog?
Yeah. Yeah. If you can organize your app in that way, absolutely. And then a last final thing is SQL injection. You can read a lot about it on the web. Just a reminder, be careful for it. Use quote name function. Avoid dynamic SQL if you can. Prefer stored procedures. That doesn't mean wrap the dynamic SQL in a stored procedure. It means actually figure out your business logic and reduce what end users through a web app or anything else can inject into the app.
All right, and use ORMs and best practices to protect against that.
Absolutely.
Very cool. We're learning all about SQL and securing SQL Azure here on Azure Friday.